I did hit that switch too. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning on this cold and frosty January morning. It has been an interesting winter. We go from having no snow to 3 feet of snow to no snow to 3 feet of snow. Kudos to you all for getting shoveled out and getting here this morning. It's good to welcome all who are here in the building as well as those who join us online each week to be part of our service of worship. And we did start saying the date for those because the reality is 30 years from now this sermon will still be online. It'll have about 3 views by then. So it is January the 15th in 2023. And this is St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall for all of those in the future who may be joining us. A couple of brief announcements. You saw many of the things that are happening on the slide. Just a reminder that as we roll through this first month of the new year, the deadlines for the annual meeting get ever closer. And I know there were some really, really keen people this year who, like, as soon as Christmas was over, I was starting to see annual reports come in. So kudos to all of those who have been working diligently, and I know those who don't have them in yet are also working diligently. But a reminder, we'd like to have them in no later than February the 12th, and that will give us a couple of weeks to get them assembled and out to you before the annual meeting, which this year will be held on Sunday, February the 26th. There are a few offering envelopes left at the back, so if you haven't received yours yet, please pick up your envelopes at the close of worship. And back in the fall, we were talking about communicants class beginning in the new year, and we will indeed start a communicants class. Our goal is to end just before Pentecost Sunday, which is the end of May, and we will be 12 weeks before that, which means about mid-February here, Ash Wednesday, we'll be starting the communicants class, but an introductory class for all of those who might be interested, just to have a little bit further discussion about what is a communicants class. Confirmation class. We had to have this discussion in the office the other day. There are about 3 different names for this class. We've variously throughout the history of the church and the churches that I've served, we've called it confirmation, we've called it communicants, we've called it preparation for your public profession of faith. All of those are correct, but we're going to use confirmation. And I've noticed that after doing that, I put it wrong in my notes this morning. So confirmation. What does it mean to confirm our baptism? We'll have a little bit of an introductory session for the young people and their parents, because parents will have a role to play in this curriculum that we have, as well as some of you. Each young person is going to be asked to name a mentor that they would like to walk with them through the communicants class. Part of this first meeting will be, who would you like to be your mentor? Because we all have that responsibility. We make that vow and promise at the time of baptism that we will walk with and uphold these young children and bring them up in the life of the church, and confirmation is part of that. So the first meeting for parents and youth is Sunday, January the 29th at 7 o'clock, and we'll do a little brief introduction about what's expected with the young people then and get some names of people, and then some of you will hear from me in the week following that. The rest of the announcements, as we noted, were on the screens, and they're also on Facebook and YouTube, so you can go back and watch them again if you think you missed something. And they're also on at the end of the service if you want to just double check a date or a time. Let us stand as we come in. Ooh, you might as well stand for this. This is fine for you to stand. We light the Christ candle as we gather in worship each week to affirm that Christ is the light of the world and that he drives all darkness and doubt from our lives and welcomes us into his presence. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screen. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
We welcome the Anointed One who makes us whole.
Look, God's chosen one who calls us each by name.
We greet the Messiah who summons us to follow.
Come and see, the Lord is here.
Our hearts are made glad by God's grace. Praise the Lord.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you sent your Son to be the light of the world, so that all may know the brightness of your love. Fill us with your grace this day, that we too may bear witness to his light and serve your coming reign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We open in praise this morning with the hymn, Holy, 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 number 299. Please be seated. What are you looking for? Jesus asked his new disciples. What are you looking for? Jesus asks us still today. Aware of all the shortcomings and offenses that are part of our human existence, we come this day confessing our sins to God and acknowledging that we look for better. Let us pray the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. Gracious God, we confess that we are uncertain. So many things that seem sure and good have led us astray and exhausted us. So much of what we have tried to do has disappointed those we love, failed to help our neighbors in need, and emptied us of conviction and hope. We do not know what we are looking for. Deliver us, O God, from all that is desolate and vain. Set our feet upon the solid rock. Open our ears to hear you. Fill our hearts with trust and our mouths with praise for the sake of God's love you show us. Amen. My apologies, I got confused there for a moment. Friends, the good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ comes into the world to forgive us of all of those things that lead us astray and to fill us with renewed purpose and hope to be his kingdom people. Let us give thanks to God for his steadfast love to us this day and always. Amen. Our hymn is number 746 in the Book of Praise. What a friend we have in Jesus. The words to the hymn will appear before us on the screen. Every now and then, something special and important comes in the mail. During Christmas season, it's often Christmas cards, right? We like to get Christmas cards and see things that are happening because they come with the letters from people and they tell us all about themselves and we get to see the pictures of our children growing and all those wonderful things. Another thing that often comes, and I don't know, it's getting close maybe to that time of year when some of these things will start appearing in the in our mailboxes. It's an invitation. And we're always excited when we get an invitation. They usually come in, you know, small little envelopes like this so you, that are square, so you know what they are before you even open them. And sometimes they're really special, right? Maybe you have an invitation to go to the garden party at Rideau Hall. Or invited to the mayor, by the mayor for some civic event here in town. Maybe you've been invited to somebody's wedding this year. That's always an exciting thing. Or maybe it's somebody's birthday. For the young people of the congregation, it's probably birthdays, right? And inside, you get all the important information. Inside, you get all the important information. Where, when, what's expected, if you're going to the garden party, what you have to dress, what you have to wear. All those things are part of an invitation. And we get excited because we've been invited. We've been included. This morning's gospel lesson and this morning's sermon is all about being invited. And how we should be excited when Jesus invites us to be part of his church. So listen to our discussion this morning. Listen for what it means to be invited into God's kingdom. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove. Open our ears to the truth of your word, that the testimony of Christ may be strengthened among us and the glad news of deliverance revealed. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55, reading verses 6 to 11. Let us hear the word of God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Our next reading comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 40, reading verses 1 to 11, and it will be read responsively. The responses will be before you on the screens. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry.
He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted.
sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.
I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart.
I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation.
Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. Our third reading comes from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us allow the Spirit to fully speak to us as we join in singing Salvation and Immortal Praise, hymn number 629 in the Book of Praise. The words will appear before you on the screens.
And this morning's gospel lesson, taken from John chapter 1, verses 29 to 51. Let us listen for God's word to his people. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated is anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Come and see. This morning we continue to examine these opening verses from John's Gospel and that slow but steady revelation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Last week, the Gospel writer reminded his readers of the expectation of the children of God, that God would send this anointed one to restore the land and usher in God's reign of justice and peace. He noted how the later prophets of the Old Testament imagined not just the Messiah to come, but also a messenger, one who would come before the anointed and proclaim the good news of the Messiah's coming. John the Baptist was that man. And here this morning, we move from the theoretical to the practical. This morning's text begins with John the Baptist and two of his disciples standing on the street. And when Jesus walks by, in that moment, there's this very real and concrete fulfillment of John's role as the guy who points to Jesus. Because as Jesus walks by, John goes, "There he is." That's the modern translation of "behold." There he is. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the disciples of John leave their teacher behind, and they begin to follow Jesus. Again, in a really literal sense, in a stocky sort of way. These disciples seem to be at a loss as to what to do or why exactly they're following Jesus. They just know that they have to do that. They are impelled out into following Jesus. having heard John's proclamation, and they just kind of follow along. They walk behind Jesus until eventually Jesus turns around and says to them, "What are you looking for?" "Hi, Michelle." Michelle must be one of the disciples this morning. "I need another. I got two back here." And there we go. The disciples are uncertain about how to respond, and so they ask Jesus, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Jesus invites them, "Come and see." Before I get any further in this sermon, there's about six sermons in this morning's text. It was a really, really tough week, too, for me, because I bounced between all of them. Even as late as yesterday afternoon, I was sitting there going, "Oh, maybe I should preach that instead." But you're getting this one. Over the course of the next decade or so, we'll get to the other six. But you see, the gospel writer goes on to say that these disciples then stayed with Jesus for the rest of that day and all through the following night. And then the gospel writer reports that Andrew went out and Andrew found Simon, his brother. And the next day, they go a little bit further. Jesus finds Peter, Jesus calls Philip to follow him, and Philip goes off and finds his friend Nathanael. All of these first disciples end up declaring to those others that they have sought, that they have found the Messiah. And each brings another to Jesus. Simon seems to be a rather eager follower, doesn't he? There's hardly two lines in the Bible about this call between this sharing of the good news about the Jesus coming between Andrew and Simon. It just says, Andrew went out, he found Simon. He said to Simon, "We have found the Messiah." And Simon went, and then he gets his new name. The Nathanael story is just a little bit more difficult. Nathanael, not so eager a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael asks of Philip, "Can anything good really come out of Nazareth? Really? Nazareth?" You know, it's like those people from Lancaster or Shelbyville or whatever the place is. There's always a rivalry in our world, right? There's always a place that is not the place you want to be from. Nazareth for Nathanael seems to be that place. But like Jesus had said to Philip and to the disciples the day before, Philip simply says to Nathanael, "Come and see." And Nathanael gets up and he goes to see Jesus. And then he has his own encounter with Jesus, in which Jesus welcomes him and speaks to him of seeing him beneath the fig tree before Philip had called him. The little asterisk here that needs to be shared, a little side note that's important. This image of someone who sits under the fig tree is a significant image for the people of Jesus' day. The image of one sitting under their own fig tree is an image borrowed from the Hebrew scriptures of those who will experience the kingdom of God, and had been further developed in the intervening years from the time that it had been written in the books of the prophets to this day, to be a way of describing one who was earnestly searching for the kingdom of God. In many ways, perhaps Nathanael is John's version of the wise man. But you see, twice in these verses this morning, there is that simple invitation. Did you notice that? come and see. Once by Jesus to the first disciples, and then once by Philip to Nathanael. These three simple words, come and see, speak of the invitational nature of the Christian faith. The purpose of the church of Jesus Christ is to invite others to join themselves with us, to come and to experience the love of God that is made known to us in Jesus Christ. Each of us has had our own experience of Christ. Each of us has had to say yes to the call of Jesus. And each of us has then been commissioned to extend that same invitation to others. Note how in these verses the invitation changes voice. It begins with Jesus' invitation to the disciples. And then it is heard on Philip's lips to Nathanael. And lest we think that Andrew was not part of this invitational ministry, it's interesting to note that of the six times that Andrew is mentioned in the Gospel of John, each of the six times he is bringing someone new to Jesus. This is the evangelical mission of the church, to invite people to come and to see the one whom God has sent, the answer to our greatest longing, to restore the creation to its original glory and all who live in it. We do not use that terminology often anymore, the evangelical mission of the church. Those words have been co-opted by one faction of the church, and yet the word evangelical means nothing more than to be sharers of the good news. The Greek word upon which it is based, evangelion, simply means good news. All around us in our world, people are looking for good news, for a fair and just sharing of the world's resources, for deep and respectful relationships that accept everyone, regardless of gender, race, creed, or status, as equal in the sight of God and in our social constructs, for a caring for the future of our creation that will sustain life into the future, for peace from conflict, for that sense and feeling of well-being in our very souls. We are all, in some way, Nathanaels, longing for the inbreaking of God's kingdom, as Micah envisions it in chapter 4. Of the book of the prophet. The Lord shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees. And no one shall be afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Each of us longs for peace and security and sufficiency. That is what that text says, and that great need will be met in the kingdom of God. The other critical part of the evangelical mission of the church, as it is presented here in these call stories from John's Gospel that we read this morning, is that we are called into community. The invitation is to come, and to come into the presence of others, of Jesus and of those who bear his name, to embody the peace and the love of God for, to, and with each other. It's like that old shampoo commercial, and I probably have used this as a sermon example before, but it's a good one, so I use it again. I mean, you remember I can't remember what the shampoo was anymore. They probably don't even make it. But, you know, she told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. If you remember that advertisement on the television screen, it starts with, you know, the woman standing there, she's washing her hair. And then they get to the, she told two friends, and they told two friends, and the screen subdivides into little windows that double and double and double and double, like some great Zoom meeting of people washing their hair. You remember that advertisement, right? But that is our goal as the church, to be the people who share the good news with others. And of necessity, then, it requires us to gather together as the body of Christ. Many people in Jesus' day encountered Jesus. There were many people who saw the miracles that Jesus performed. There were many who were awed and inspired by his teaching. Many who pursued him to ask him a question and gain knowledge and wisdom from him. But not everyone followed. Not everyone became a disciple. Think of the story of the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And after this discussion about the key tenets of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors as yourself. And the guy, the rich young ruler says, Master, I've done all of these things from my youth. And Jesus says, then you've just got one more thing to do. Go, sell everything that you have, and give it away to the poor. And scripture records, the young man went away downcast because he owned many possessions. He had come to Jesus. He had asked Jesus the question. Perhaps it was indeed the answer that would have freed him from all of the burden of his life. Throw off all of the yoke and the shackles of wealth. And come and follow me. But scripture says, he went away. Time and again, scripture tells us there are those who seek to turn and follow Jesus and commit their lives to living with him and being his disciples. But there are also those who, having encountered Jesus, turn and walk the other way. It is in the gathering, in the coming together, in the acceptance of that invitation to come and see, that we become the disciples of Jesus Christ and bear forth the good news of Jesus Christ into the world. The church is called to be disciples, to forsake everything for the sake of the one true gift of life that is received in Jesus Christ. As John begins his gospel, John presents to us this reality that Jesus accepts all of those who will come to him and who seek to follow. The cost will be great. It will challenge us and all of our preconceived notions that we might have. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Really? But here, what the promise is. The promise is that you will see the kingdom of God in your very midst. That last little bit that Jesus says to Nathanael. The promise that Nathanael will see angels ascending and descending out of heaven and resting upon the Son of Man. Again, an echo of the Old Testament. Of that moment when Jacob is left alone and he builds an altar and he has his vision of this ladder that extends from earth to heaven with angels ascending and descending. The kingdom of God will be your inheritance. But first, Jesus says, come and see. Thanks be to God. Amen. God has done wondrous things, too numerous to count. Through steadfast love and faithful care, God enriches us in every way. Therefore, do not delay, but let us offer to God ourselves this day that all that we have and all that we are may be given in praise and love of Christ. Your tithes and offerings will now be received. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O loving God, that you have placed in the hearts of your faithful people the gift of generosity and the desire to do your will. Use these gifts to proclaim good news to every nation and to restore all people to Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue now in prayer. Let us pray. God of purpose and promise, we open our hearts to you in prayer this day, trusting in your mercy to bear the burdens that we carry. We thank you for the work and witness of your church, bringing your good news into many lives and situations throughout the earth. Today we pray for congregations that are struggling financially, for churches that are caught up in conflict, and for all those church members who are tired and need your renewing spirit. Guide them with your grace. We thank you for the healing that comes from your hand, O God. In times of reconciliation, when your forgiving love is at work, and in times when pain is eased and grief is comforted by your presence. Today we pray for those whose emotions are raw, for those whose bodies are weakened in this winter of sickness, and for any whose minds are troubled in any way. Give them hope for new life with you. We lift to you people around the world who work for justice and unity to prevail in the midst of division, in nations where conflict has broken out or repression rules, in places facing poverty, famine, or destruction from natural disaster, and anywhere where racial and ethnic disparities weaken common life. We pray for our own country, Canada, in this time when resentments seem to simmer and differences deepen. Send your justice to bring relief and your peace to help understanding prevail. As the followers of Jesus, give us the courage to unite not only in prayer, but also in action for the needs of this world. Strengthen us to work together despite our differences, so that others may see what it means to follow you in Christ's name. And so we join in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn for this morning is number 651 in the Book of Praise. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screens.
I am weak, but thou art mighty, O God.
now let us go forth in peace. For God in Christ has enriched us with speech and knowledge and every spiritual gift, that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. May God's steadfast love and mercy lead you. Make your steps secure, keeping you forever safe and on paths of righteousness and peace, this day and forevermore. Amen.